Absolutely. I mean, AI is never going to be perfect. So you can't rely on it. And it's your voice, you know, your ideas and thoughts that are feeding into it. So you can't, like, you're always the driver. You can't just rely on it to do everything for you automatically, or else your messages will start to sound generic.
Hey, fellow marketers, welcome to another episode of the Marketing Careers Podcast presented by the Marketing Help. .co. Okay, the opening you heard is from our guest, Jody Lael. Now, Jody is currently a revenue marketing leader at GE Healthcare. Now, her role also includes serving as a leader of a cross-functional tiger team that is responsible for managing the integration of Gen AI tools within her organization. Now, Jody provides some great insights and tips on managing the disruption of Gen AI in a heavily regulated industry, in her case, healthcare. Now, Jody goes on to give some specific ways her teams are using Gen AI tools to craft hyper-targeted content for very niche personas in the healthcare space, as well as she gives some tips on how to best integrate your Gen AI tiger team within your organization. So as always, check the show notes for links to specific resources mentioned in the episode and ways to connect with Jody. So let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Jody Lael from GE Healthcare. Jody, welcome to the episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right, exciting. Really excited to get your perspective based off of your experience, and sounds like the types of projects you're taking on currently as it relates to AI and generative AI. So let's start here by just, you know, Marketing Careers Podcast. We'd love to hear where our guests, you know, came from and how you got into this path. So maybe take a couple of minutes. Talk to us about how you got into marketing and how that led you to your different roles and how that led you to where you are today at GE.
Yeah, actually, so my background was in biotechnology and microbiology. When I graduated college, I thought I wanted to be a doctor, and then I realized I didn't want to spend, you know, 12 years in school. I felt like, you know, I was very creative. I was a very people person. I had some internships at hospitals at the time, and I created a newsletter for one of them. And it ended up spreading to like three hospitals in the Sacramento area. So that's kind of when I first got a little like hint of what marketing is like, especially in healthcare, which is, you know, where I am right now. So kind of full circle. But from there, I had the opportunity to take some graduate school classes at UC Davis, the business school there, and I fell in love with marketing and business. So I started my career working in biotech, doing marketing. I was the only marketing person. So, you know, I did everything from set up Facebook ads to create brochures on InDesign and create graphics, to running our marketing automation systems. And then that really helped me, you know, I think that was kind of like one of our little pre-revolutions in marketing is the automation, right?
Yeah, because absolutely.
It helped me be like five marketers in one. So I really ate it up. I loved the MarTech at the time. And that's how I got into GE initially, was in more of that marketing operations and marketing IT role, and really just grew from there. I started at GE Digital. It was, a very small team when I started. One product, it was Predix at the time. And then, we grew to 150 people marketing team, 10,000 employees marketing, five products all around the world, seven different verticals. So it was really exciting to, not only be part of the growth, but help the marketing team grow to be able to execute campaigns on this now global, way more intricate level. So yeah, I had a really great career. And then I had an amazing opportunity to join GE Healthcare 4 years ago. And I love it. I love the healthcare space. It's really somewhere where you feel like you could make an impact, you know, at the end of the day on people's lives. And that really connects with me. So it's been great to be able to use that operational background, some of my analytics background, and really like that science mindset, right? Of like always optimizing, improving, seeing what works and kind of doing that. So yeah, here I am at GE Healthcare, and I focus on like also AI, not only for our team, but also AI in the cardiology and healthcare space in general, and how that's impacting people's lives. So yeah, it's an exciting place to be.
Yeah. And I love the story of the career path, because of, you know, you had this kind of predetermined interest in the healthcare space, wanting to be a doctor. I'd love to see it come full circle, like you said, where along the way you picked up these other skills and interests that you probably never knew that there was such a position that could encompass all that. And here you are, sounds like where you need to be, which is tying all those things together, like you said. So that's great to see. So you kind of reference it there at the end a little bit, but maybe go a little bit deeper, you know, let our audience know, you know, maybe describing your day-to-day, your role, right? So I know, you know, we're going to unpack this a little bit more, but what's the charge of your position? Because when someone thinks about marketing inside of a healthcare, large healthcare company, you know, regulated, you know, not creative, you know, but I know that it's not that. So maybe shed some light on describing what you do in your position.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned this, because honestly, I feel like with all those regulations, healthcare really stretches you to be even more creative. So I can definitely share some ideas on like how we do that. But yeah, so my day to day, I run our revenue marketing team for our cardiology IT, as well as enterprise imaging solutions at GE Healthcare. So basically, you know, the imaging side of things. So if you go and get an X-ray, you know, how does your doctor view those images and then be able to diagnose and, you know, send you that data back or to your clinician? So we kind of help optimize that whole workflow. And AI plays into it too, because we're trying to, you know, there's applications that you could plug in that help clinicians with the diagnosis. So it helps you get faster and more accurate diagnosis at the end of the day. And there's various areas, obviously, in healthcare where AI can plug in that way. So we focus more on the imaging side. So in my role, you know, obviously, I my focus is to build pipeline and sales. So my day-to-day, I'm, you know, working on tons of campaigns, from, you know, email campaigns to Facebook, LinkedIn, AdWords. I'm working with our sales team to make sure that the leads that we're bringing in are high quality leads, they're converting. I work really closely with our marketing operations team, our content team, product team, to make sure that we're really building campaigns that are resonating with the audience and then generating funnel at the end of the day.
That sounds like a lot, but a lot that is, you know, like you said, tied to the importance of these campaigns to help with, you know, letting more of your target audience be aware of what it is you're providing there from that graphic space. You mentioned, you know, in our conversation earlier about how, you know, there is this advent or need for creating, as you call it, a tiger team. We're going to unpack that a little bit more here, but, you know, maybe let's start with, from your perspective, knowing that you referenced how AI is becoming important, not just in terms of how, you know, doctors are using it as part of diagnoses, but how would you just simply describe, in your own words, what generative AI is?
So generative AI, and I'm not a technical person.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, So what comes to mind if someone were to ask you, like, what is this, or how would you describe it?
So, you know, if you think about like ChatGPT, right? So it's an AI that learns based off of your inputs, on outputs that you're interested in, right? So, and it learns from, like, if you give examples and different prompts, the more you use it, the better it gets tailored to how you need the outputs at least. But I know there's probably a lot more.
No, I mean, and that's why I asked that question is everyone has a different perspective based on the use cases of it. But like you said, simply put, it's, you know, you give it some direction and some inputs, knowing that you're looking for more efficient outputs. And that's me using my own words, but I know we'll get into that a little bit more in terms of how you're using that. So now when you think about what you're doing in your role, and you know, you're helping others understand how to leverage AI to be more efficient, what are some of the signs that you've seen, you know, in your current role, maybe other roles or with other companies, but what are the signs that you see that says, hey, wait a minute, it's time for us to do something about this and organize a collective team to focus on educating others with AI? What were those disruptive moments that you saw that caused the need for that?
Well, I think initially just even, you know, diving into AI, like the ChatGPT at least was my first, you know, foray into it. You just see immediately the increase in productivity and creativity and how you could save time by using some of these tools. And as a marketer, like I mentioned, you know, there's a lot that we do. I don't think it's just my role. I think as marketers, we're often stretched to do more with less. Our budgets shrink, but we still have to show the ROI. And, you know, marketing is often the first team cut, you know, with people in organizations. So there's, you know, we're always stretched and we always, you know, have to be scrappy, I think, in our roles to be successful. So realizing that, I think AI just plugs in so well, right? Say you are a bootstrap team, okay? Well, you could use AI to help build content quicker, help you with design, help come up with ideas. You know, say you're in meetings all day long. You know, our brains are often like fried at the end of the day sometimes, and you get brain freeze or writer's block. So being able to use AI to help combat some of those symptoms of just being a marketer in today's world, I think was huge. And that really made me realize like we need to get our team, you know, onboarded, comfortable with AI and help change some of those mindsets that they might have of like, ooh, AI, you know, the sci-fi world of like, it's going to take over our jobs, move from that to actually see it can really help you and actually make your life better. It could improve your day-to-day, your work-life balance, even in a way, you know, think of how much you could get done by leveraging AI. It's the same output, you know, and I always say like, we're not copying and pasting whatever the AI is giving you. It's a tool. It's there to assist you, not to, you know, do the work for you per se. So yeah, I think the benefits really like drove us to dive right in and show that impact honestly right away. So
right. So it sounds like your disruptive moment was, you know, you were facing what a lot of marketing departments are facing, which is that request to do more with less. Therefore, we have to be more efficient. Therefore, hey, let's check out some of these AI tools. Therefore, we can do things in minutes, not hours, in hours, not weeks. And you mentioned all those channels that you're managing, which is interesting. And I know that our audience is, you know, marketers that are familiar with some of these channels, but maybe go a level deep into the details of how you're using AI with some of those campaigns, email, AdWords, content creation. Any examples you can share in terms of like, maybe not so much the actual prompt you're using, but how are you using them, to be more efficient?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we use AI for copywriting. I think that's an obvious one. But really to come up with different versions, you know, so I'll ask, like, I think A-B testing is really, really the big one. And here's my science hat, my science background coming in. It just helps you create so many different versions that you could then test and optimize and see what really works well for your audience. So, you know, that's that goes to email copy. Obviously, email, you know, using tools like Marketo or Eloqua or whatnot, there's A/B testing built into it already. Mm-hmm. So I think it just helps you really leverage those capabilities and always be improving. You know, but also we use, I would use it for LinkedIn copy as well, to give me a couple different versions. And maybe right now I have a few different personas that I work with. Mm-hmm. So I'll have, you know, I'll ask chat to come up with different, you know, copy versions for a cardiologist versus a CIO and a CTO. So it kind of helps you personalize. So instead of doing, you know, mass general messaging for everybody, you can now easily and quickly tailor it to your specific audience and even deeper into the different roles that you're interested in, you know, marketing to. So I think in that sense, it's really powerful.
And like you mentioned before, in this industry, especially in this industry, you're not copying and pasting what's being produced. You probably have some process afterwards to review, edit, and then maybe get some sort of approval for that copy.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, in healthcare, for specifically, like we have actually regulatory and legal that does review all of our content that we release. So, you know, I will use chat to come up with these versions, but at the end of the day, you know, it has to go through all these processes to actually be seen by an external audience.
Yeah. So, and I guess a learning for the audience here, you know, for those that are just getting in or expanding their use of these tools. And I think it's kind of a something everyone needs to adhere to is the not to copy and paste, but to absolutely take advantage of its ability to go for the different versions and different tones and different things, but to make sure that at the end of the day, there is some element of relevancy to what it is you're trying to provide it for.
Absolutely. I mean, AI is never going to be perfect. So right. you can't rely on it. And it's your voice, you know, your ideas and thoughts that are feeding into it. So you can't, like, you're always the driver. You can't just rely on it to do everything for you automatically, or else your messages will start to sound generic. Right. I'm sure a lot of us that are using AI can even probably now see when other people are using it too. You know, there's, you know, chat does have similar ways of referencing things sometimes. Like you'll see words like game changer or right. like, you know, just very high level. Like, what does that mean? Game changer? What are we changing? You know what I mean? So yeah. You're always going to have to look at it, or else your messages will sound like everybody else's messages yeah. right. and will get lost in the mix, you know? So it's not there to do the job for you, but to really help you amplify your voice in a way more.
And I love the use cases you're giving here, because like you said, one of the goals of rolling this out was to gain efficiencies. And do you have examples of where your teams are leveraging those efficiencies? Do you see that they're using it to get more done of their to-do list, or is it they're using it for more other things, maybe mental health or maybe pursuing different passions?
Love that question. So I would say for our team in general, right now we're at the phase of using it for our roles. Mm-hmm. Selfishly, yes, I do ask, you know, ChatGPT and other generative AIs, you can ask them to really do anything. They can act as your assistant. They can act as your therapist. They can act as a motivational coach, you know. I mean, I will ask it to help me if I'm ever dealing with a difficult, you know, or challenging customer or person. I will ask it, hey, how would you approach, you know, this type of conversation? Can you give me some examples? Can you do a role play? So, I mean, you know, it's really unlimited in how it could help you. But I think within our team, like, you know, we're really using it to help us, you know, in our day-to-day, to help us with content creation, ideation, also competitive research. So it's not just, you know, creating copy and graphics and content, but also for that market research point of it, you know, for you, like, you know, we'll try to, you know, I'll always look back at chat and be like, okay, like, am I missing anything that cardiologists care about? So I'll ask, you know, what are some of the pain points that cardiologists are facing, or what's top of mind for them? And or other industry trends and things like that. Just to make sure that I have the most holistic approach and the most like education on a topic that I could have, right? We obviously know what we know, but I think it helps kind of eliminate some of those blind spots and really gives you a more holistic view of what you should do when you go and do it. So I think it's more than just, yeah, like executing on campaigns. It's really to give you that background and knowledge and help you be more prepped and ready to go. So yeah, but yeah, I have heard some team members, they'll ask chat like, oh, what should I watch on Netflix this weekend? So obviously the use cases are very broad, but
sure. Yeah. Now you referenced ChatGPT, which I think is everyone's most, I should say the most popular tool. We'll generalize and say that's the one we hear the most. Are there any other AI tools that you use, whether it's personally or in the process of building your campaigns, that our audience should know about? Maybe the one that isn't as popular, but still helps in solving for a problem.
Yes. So I am obsessed with Canva Pro and the AI on Canva. Honestly, it's just getting better and better. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, I don't have a graphic designer in-house. Usually I contract that out, you know, which takes time. The back and forth, right, between an agency to get kind of the outputs that you want. But in Canva, I just like really love it. You can search for the exact image that you want and it kind of creates it for you. It's not always perfect, but it will give you a lot of great options to choose from. And I feel like I'm like a designer now, you know, I didn't have those abilities. So I love Canva Pro, and I think it's just really helpful for somebody who's even starting off in marketing, right? And they have to be scrappy. I think you could come up with really beautiful campaigns by using some of the tools on there. And I think recently they just implemented a video AI component. So you could type in whatever video you want, and they will try to give you a template of that. It still needs some work, but you could even have like I don't want to say actors, but I mean, I guess they're actors. You can grab like people icons and have them actually say stuff for your video too, right? So I think that is a game changer, and I'm excited to see how good it gets. You know, I did test a couple, you know, video ideas already. So I'm excited for that potential. But yeah.
And I think there's a lot of marketers that are familiar with Canva, but not the fact that it's doing all these things, because maybe they're not using it as regularly. But no, that's a great point. Not just that they have something, but get in there and use it, because you never know. Like, no one's expert at using these tools at the first try. It's going to take some repetition here to get some familiarity with what it produces. Because you're right, sometimes you do a search and it's not really, you know, what you want. And it takes a little bit of refining. So no one should go into these tools expecting it to be perfect first time. You have some patience, some diligence in getting some repetitions in it.
And they get better, you know, it gets better. When Canva, you know, for example, first launched this AI portion of it in like April, I think it was March or April. And I was like, okay, like, you know, maybe that doesn't really look like a real hand, you know, like it's really obvious. But now it just has so many more options of, you know, images and backgrounds and things you could choose that mesh together and actually look legit. So I think, you know, don't give up on just one time if it's not giving you what you want. Like, obviously, you know, practice, but come back and maybe these tools are all improving and changing, you know, so every couple of weeks. So I think you'll be surprised.
Right. You know, where it goes. So the tools that you're using, like in the context of using inside of your role, you know, I'm wondering if you have some tips or advice for our audience when it comes to, you know, budgeting for a tiger team or a task force around AI education and implementation. You know, did you have any steps that you had to go through in order to secure a budget for this initiative, or was it something that you borrowed from budget A to fund it? Or what was your experience in finding budget to support some of these things?
Yeah, so I think that, so yeah, when our team was created, you know, actually the initiative came down from our leadership, like, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted to put together a team to, you know, figure out how we could leverage AI at GE Healthcare. And part of that, you know, we were given like, you know, a baby budget, I should say. But sure. like more like I kind of requested, I'm like, okay, well, you know, we're going to want to try some of these tools as well. And, you know, here are some of the costs. So kind of how I took the approach was, you know, to do some, have some budget for some pilot programs. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, you'll be surprised, like a lot of these tools are either free or very low cost, like $100 a month or something like this. So mm-hmm. I think it's easier to justify that. So we wanted to do some pilots, and we're able to work out like a nice, you know, structure with the vendors themselves. There are some tools such as, I think there's a competitive analysis tool that's like 10 grand, you know, or yeah, right. So that one yeah. is harder. So how we're approaching it is like, okay, we're going for the quick wins first, you know, things that we know we could all use and it will like directly impact the marketing team, right. you know, and our ROI right away. And then we're building the case for like a bigger tool, such as something with, you know, competitive intel and, sure. and whatnot.
Because it seems like, you know, some of these tools at that higher end are just kind of pulling numbers out of the air when you think about the cost for some of these tools. But I like that approach where you're saying quick wins, simple things, $100 a month or even less for some of these tools.
Right.
And when you start to amaze your leadership team, when you say, oh, yeah, 1,000 blog posts in a couple of hours that have all been approved, but are all, you know, relevant to what we're trying to accomplish, that gets the attention that then says, okay, what, you know, how much more do you need? Or then move on to the larger ask. Okay. Exactly. So this is a great starting point in terms of understanding your experience and how you're using, how you're navigating, I should say, generative AI inside of your teams. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about focus forward. Talk about your thoughts and opinions on where you think this is all going to go as it relates to not just your current work, but where you see in the marketing landscape. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey there, Eric here. And I trust that you're enjoying this season of the Marketing Careers Podcast. Do you have a favorite episode yet? Do you have a favorite actionable tip? Well, that's okay. We got a ton more episodes coming. So hope you enjoy the rest of those as well. Just want to remind you, we have this resource we've curated for you at themarketinghelp.co/GenAI, and there you're going to find a couple of things: a comprehensive list of AI marketing tools, including some tools you probably have not heard of yet or have not tested yet. So you got to check that out. We have a complete AI transformation checklist, adopting some of the things you've heard so far, but also it gives clear direction on things you need to make sure you do at the right time, and can certainly help with any team or marketing leader navigate this disruption a lot smoother. We also have an excerpt from our recent book we published. The book is called CMO Disruption Playbook Generative AI, but we've extracted even more value for you with a free download of an excerpt from that book. So all the things you need to help with this this disruption of generative AI, head on over to themarketinghelp.co/GenAI. Grab that free information. And enjoy the rest of this season. And let's get back to the episode. Jody, when you think about what I call, this is a coulda, shoulda, woulda moment, when you think all the way back to when you first were exposed to that first AI prompt, or when you first heard about, maybe it's ChatGPT, maybe it was something else, is there anything you would have done differently from when you were exposed to that power of that tool to now?
I think just use it more. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I, and practice with it, play around with it, you know, like oftentimes I'm I go to use it when I need something, but I feel like there's so many other use cases that are out there that I would love to also explore and you know, try out. So I think using more of it, something I could be better at. I'm sure we all could. So
it's a great point, because I always think back to, like, it could have really helped you on my taxes, you know, understanding some of the terminology being thrown around by my accountant back then. I mean, I use it now, but when I first heard about it, it would have been extremely helpful. So I agree. Use it more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
So the other question I'm asking here is just, when you think about the impact of, in your case, is a good use case, because the way you're using it to be more efficient with the marketing tasks inside these teams you're working with, let's fast forward 12 months. And what do you think the impact will be for those teams? And no one has the right answer here. It's just really about, you know, addressing some of the thoughts that are floating around here. But I'm curious on your perspective, you know, is it impacting the teams? You know, if they're even more efficient, what does that mean? Does it create more awareness of redundancies? And are some positions collapsed? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think in 12 months, seeing how our team is using the tools now, I mean, I think they're just going to get even exponentially more efficient and more creative, actually. And I think it helps, like, boost the morale a little bit as well, right? Like, you know, it's been a rough few years, you know, after the pandemic, and there's just a lot going on in the world. And I think having this AI and, like, coming up with new ideas and new campaigns, and, like, we're all empowered to use the AIs. We're always bouncing ideas off of each other. So I think it really helps us be creative in this healthcare space and come up with, you know, brand new ideas and programs. So I see, like, some of my team members, they never used video, and now they, like, are excited about producing a video. They're like, oh no, I'll tweak that demo. I'll make it. I'm like, oh, okay. And even myself, I'm like, let me handle the graphics. Like, I want to use Canva. So honestly, I think, like, we will just grow our skills in some of these ways and be even better at what we're doing. I think, you know, there is a portion of those people that are slower to adopt the AI. You know, we have our Tiger team, and it's, you know, we're hungry to learn what's out there and be innovative and try new things. So our team is kind of like, you know, the coaches to everybody else who maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't touch their job, like, as much as it would for me, but it still does, right? Like, everybody could use it, whether you're doing, you know, competitive intel, sales enablement, like, all the different areas. There's always a way that AI could help. So we're trying to be, like, evangelists within the org to help, you know, others get as comfortable in using these AI tools. So we have, like, AI discussion every month where my team gets together and we share our latest findings. It's kind of like an office hours where the rest of the team can come in and ask questions or just learn from some of our best practices, because there's so much, right? Like, every week I'm learning something new,
right?
And every, like, couple weeks there's new tools out there that you can use. Some are free, some are, you know, like, may have a small cost. So there's just so much learning to do in the area. I think that, you know, we're all just going to get better and better. I don't see AI really replacing anybody's, you know, role or anything like that at the moment, but I think it will challenge you to be even better at your job, to do, you know, use a tool, be better, because, you know, I think when you're, you know, a small marketing team and you're looking for resources and the AI can help you, like, you know, maybe you might hire less.
Yeah. No, I think that's good perspective, because what I'm hearing and what you were saying just made me think of something where the power of your Tiger team, And I hear some other companies, Tiger Team, Task Force, Centers of Excellence, whatever you want to call it. It's the individuals that have been selected to be the go-to resource hub, not just for education, but also for execution, meaning you're the ones that are implementing, hey, a new tool, let's try it, let's put it through its paces, et cetera. Is there a appetite for more companies to establish these, you know, centers of excellence, tiger teams inside their organizations? And if they don't have to hire for it, they can, there's probably people working there that could be part of it. Right. So it's almost like a function that has to be developed, which creates opportunities, like you're saying, for current employees to step up and be part of it. And then I'm hearing the, you know, 12 months from now, the richness in everyone's skill development and the fulfillment someone has of saying, wow, 3 months ago, there's no way I would have been able to do that. And now I'm empowered to be able to do something almost as if it were effortless. So we all know the, like that energy hit that it gives us, the confidence boost it gives us when we get this new skill under our belt. So you play that out and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, if everyone increases their skills, enhances their skills, do we have another wave of, you know, resignations going on because people are looking to upgrade and take their skills and go other places? Again, I'm just pontificating here based on what you're saying, because I think you have a good perspective there in what you're seeing with your Tiger team. So,
and that's where the organization like also needs to continue to foster that kind of innovation and these new ideas, right? And there needs to be space to go and actually see those through. So I think if you keep that up within your org and a culture of, you know, failing fast, trying new things, I think, you know, it can last. But yeah, to your point, if, you know, somebody has all these amazing skills, but they feel trapped, like they cannot really express them where they are, then, you know, it's obviously inevitable that they will want to find a place where they can. So I think, yeah, it goes both ways, right? You need to be able to create that space.
Right. And even playing that out some more, you know, we think about new roles that are developed. And you talked earlier about your, you know, in your usage of these tools, it's just constant feeding of the prompt. Try something, say something, refine it, say something, add some more, give it some more context, give different personas. You know, prompt engineering becomes this role that we see that, you know, some folks even have right now, some marketers or teams have this position. Do you see any other positions that could, you know, become a thing in the next couple of months, you know, as more teams are using, you know, AI the way that you're talking about it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think prompt engineering is going to be a key skill for anybody using AI and definitely a desired skill in marketing, because the prompts actually make a huge difference on the quality of the outputs that you get and how you could use them, right? So I think one thing that we learned is that you have to be specific, provide, you know, examples of the output that you want, include the tone, length, you know, like you could tell chat to say like, okay, write this in bullet points, for example, or give me, you know, three paragraphs on this topic and make the first paragraph 50 words, second paragraph 75 words or whatever, actually. Yeah. So I think people might underestimate how much time it actually goes into writing a good prompt to then be able to get the high value output that you need. So that's just going to be a critical skill, I think.
Yeah.
And also, you know, people being comfortable with using new technologies. So, you know, if there is a new tool out there, like, you know, or like say, yeah, Canva has an AI, like go in and use it, you know, like somebody needs to really also be like very open and adaptable to trying and testing new technologies. So, you know, I think tech is always, you know, important for marketers, but I think being able to learn new technologies quicker will make a difference as well.
I agree 100%. And even the prompt, to your point about the prompting, it's funny because I looked at some prompt guides that came out, you know, months ago, even actually almost a year ago after ChatGPT was released. Then I looked at some of the prompt guides that came out in the last month or two. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about evolution. Right. Some of the first prompt guides that came out were, you know, intuitive, but basic. Mm-hmm. Now you look at some of these guys and man, oh man, it just becomes, okay, wow. I had no idea that I can go to this level, add this sort of context, complexity, et cetera, et cetera. So for sure, that's definitely a skill. Are there any other skills that come to mind when you look at your team and how they've evolved that says, hey, if you're a marketer and you want to be in the mix here and be innovative in AI, you need to develop these skills. Any other skills come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, you really can't lose your like skills you originally have, right? So if you're a copywriter, you cannot lose your writing skills. Right. Because at the end of the day, you can't be lazy and just rely on AI, because what if it's down one day and you know, like that happened to me. I'm like just using ChatGPT and then it was off for a day. Right. I'm like, oh no, I need to write an email. You know, so you really can't actually forget your core skills that you have in marketing. You got to keep, you know, improving those and being a better marketer in all those ways. So I think that's still important. I think that, you know, I think people need to approach it in a different way. Like, look at the AI that it actually helps you be more human at the end of the day as a marketer, mm-hmm. you know? So I think actually lead with empathy, lead with compassion. I think you're going to have to do that now. If you think that everybody's using AI, everybody's using chat or whatever, you know, copy AI, all the tools out there to get their messaging out, how are you going to stand out? And it's really that human voice, I think, that's going to resonate with customers at the end of the day. So I think stretch your empathy, use this time to, you know, really get in the headspace of your customers and their customers, and really think like, okay, how can you use your marketing, you know, tactics and messaging to reach them and really help them? And then obviously, you know, use all the AI tools to help you get there, but really like refine your own voice and how you're connecting with your audience, I think will be critical.
Sure. And your point about empathy, I think, you know, can be taken a lot of ways in terms of what someone's going to be doing with this, how a marketer is going to be using this. And the empathy doesn't just, in my translation of what you're saying, is it doesn't just find its way into the content that you create, you know, being empathetic towards your audience, but it could also be a skill that needs to be developed when dealing with people across Absolutely. The organization that mm-hmm. either may not know or not understand how to use these tools, mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're raising their hand to say, teach me. So, you know, going into that sort of navigation of your marketing career, I 100% agree that, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of people may not be thinking about that because they're thinking the hard skill. Well, guess what?
Right.
The soft skills, the human skills are also important to be picking up as everything around you starts to become more efficient in this world. So when you think about staying on top of this industry, because like you said, it changes daily, weekly. Do you have a go-to resource that comes to mind? If it's a blog, a site, a community, an influencer, what's your go-to source for staying on top of AI?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on some of the AI groups on LinkedIn, and my feed is just, since I follow AI and ChatGPT, generative AI, the hashtags, I'm always seeing, you know, influencers or other people post about it. So, you know, I think find your person, you know, find your people on LinkedIn that you really like. Substack has some great authors as well on generative AI. So it's kind of where I'm going at the moment. Okay. There's just so much out there, right? So even on my Instagram, I see, you know, people post about like business efficiencies, and they always have, you know, like a little cheat sheet of, you know, the top AI tools. So I think social media has a ton of, I don't want to say it's always great, but there's a bunch of resources to at least get started learning.
Right. So I love that tip about even, I mean, who thought, right, to follow the hashtag in LinkedIn for ChatGPT, or like you're saying, go to the sources of those that are on the front lines as a place to stay on top of things. It's almost like when everyone was focused on content marketing and CRM tools, you follow, you read the HubSpot blog every day.
Right. Oh, yes.
Because yeah. It's basically following the leader in the space as a starting point, and others will pop up, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Any final tips, open mic here, any final tips or advice you have for our audience when it comes to, you know, thinking about how to navigate this disruption of generative AI?
Yeah, I think just dive in and try it. You know, if I'm sure a lot of your audience is already using chat, but if they're not, get in there, use it for things in your personal life as well, right? Like use it in all the ways that you can. And I think it would just be really helpful. I think it's a, you know, in the words of ChatGPT, a game changer in marketing. So right. Yeah, get in there, dive in.
I love it. Well, I love the advice on using it for non-marketing tasks, because I think we get so focused on using it for the things in front of us on a day-to-day that we forget about applications, like you said, for mental health, for direction with other challenges that you're facing. Again, keeping it in mind that, you know, it's an input, or I should say it's an output, but, you know, kind of run it through the.
Absolutely. It gives good advice. You know, I have had it act as a therapist for me a couple of times. I'm like, oh yeah, these are good tips, like for mental health.
Right.
I use Google's Bard to, you know, I love to travel, so I use it to help me plan my travels. I'm like, okay, I have 10 days in Portugal. How should I spend
it? Right, exactly.
You know, and I already had a hunch of what I wanted to do, but it was nice to see, you know, some of the advice there. So, you know, I think anywhere you're stuck, see if the AI tools can help you.
Love it. So where can our audience connect with you? Where's the best place for them to connect with you, knowing that, or if they want to continue the conversation, maybe ask you a follow-up question?
Yes. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Jodi Lael. I post a lot about AI and also AI in healthcare there. I am also on Substack, Jodi Lael on Substack. I have a couple blogs that I will, you know, write. I want it to be every week, but it's been, you know, I'm kind of on a once every couple weeks timeline. So yeah. Yeah, message me, follow me.
All right. I can share those links in the show notes so our audience can easily connect with you and subscribe to the Substack and connect with you there. But Jodi, thank you so much for this time and insight from your perspective for how you're using and navigating generative AI. The Tiger Team idea, I think, is important for everyone to understand. Whether you're in a huge corporation, company, team, department, or you're in a marketing team of four, you know, there is some value here in establishing that that resources hub that can not just help with the campaign efficiencies, but also help others thrive in the organization. So I appreciate the insight.
Absolutely.
And best of luck in the coming year with everything tied to what you're tackling at GE Healthcare and beyond.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Big thanks to Jodi for joining us on this episode. A couple quick takeaways I got here. You know, for in her case, using Gen AI tools in a healthcare industry, so it's regulated. But because of that, you know, they have very specific personas. So it's using the tools appropriately to craft content relevant to specific personas that you're trying to target. But also it's getting those legal teams involved early. Make them aware of your process, knowing that there's going to be need to be deep review around the content you are creating with these tools. So great insights from Jodi here. Now make sure you check the show notes on ways to connect with Jodi. And if you're enjoying the content, make sure you're subscribing, rating, and reviewing this podcast wherever you access your favorite podcasts. If you have a question or just have a quick need around a challenge you're facing in your marketing career, shoot me a note at connect@themarketinghelp.co. And again, I'm your host, Eric Harbison, and I will catch you on the next episode.